A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming in Hot is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Don't you dare sit.
Hey, everybody.
What's up?
Welcome to the show. It is basically being held together, as always, by Renfrew Pro Tape. But the Coming In Hot show, as always, presented by Betano. Go to betano.ca. The game starts now. They are our new online partners. They are fantastic when it comes to live betting. And we will get to our locks of the day a bit later because we got two today. Yorkie and Bobby, you did so well yesterday with your one pick. We're going to up it to two and see how that goes. All right? We need to explain why we're late a little bit. So one is Yorkie had some kind of medical procedure, and two, Bobby's dealing with rolling blackouts in Nashville at the moment. So, if he goes down, we know why, and we'll just happen to do the show with just Yorkie. And Yorkie's mic doesn't work.
Yeah.
And this is how this show is going to go today.
Every single day. Yorkie, what are you doing, man? He's talking.
No, you don't have a mic, Yorkie. And we can't even start the show all over again. Anyway, Bobby, what's going on in Nashville?
Actually, we're good now, but we had rolling blackouts through the night and into the morning, and none of it is nearly close to as embarrassing as Yorkie not doing this.
Am I back, boys? Yeah. Am I back?
We can hear you breathing.
You got me?
The you will be docked 3 minutes of pay, by the way.
Oh, God.
Unprofessionalism.
That's it. Somebody owes me a couple bucks, Yorkie.
Yorkie, are you okay? I'm worried.
Yeah, listen, I had to book it to get here today. An hour of rehab. I'm like the $6 million man right now. They're rebuilding me, both knees, back, wrist. In about a month, I'll be as good as new. So that's why we're starting late. I had the rehab. We weren't sure if Bobby was going to be getting online. You're like, what's going on in Nashville, Bobby? Rolling blackouts? Like, you guys losing? Is there like a storm?
There was a storm through the night, and then I just decided, I was like, I'm going to use this, and just in case my date went great. I'm just being honest with you guys. So,
yeah. I thought for sure we were, okay. All right, we've been fooled. Yeah. Okay, so by the way, and I took a header today at the gym and ended up with welts on my body, so it just seems like it's going to be that kind of day. But let's
you
get
took
on
a header and you ended
and
up
I did
in
it in front of
log.
My
kid.
Yeah.
I need a haircut. My my guy who's cut my hair for the last 22 years, he's in Florida for like 3 months, and I'm a 3 week kind of haircut guy, so I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the 3 months. Yeah,
you're gonna look like Yorkie pretty quickly here.
What are you talking about? I just need a little more sun.
I'll be in a hat by the end of it.
It's going to be tough to watch, guys. I can't wait to watch this unfold.
Yeah, no, this is going well. We've got Capology a bit later. We've used Yorkie's math. So I've got lots of questions about how this is going to play out. First, by the way, I know, hang on, Yorkie. We've got a limited time today because you've been late. We've got lots to talk about. And one of the things, though, I want to get to early on, and just to get not out of the way, but I think it's obviously the topic of the day. It's been all over the news, and that's yesterday in the Bills game, Damar Hamlin, who collapses, goes into cardiac arrest on the field. You guys are professional athletes, by the way. So the reason I ask you this is what you've, like, A, you obviously you relate to this because you're in that field. You're a professional player. But what's it like, I guess, what's it like to watch, and have you gone through something like this that you've seen on the ice, or what's the toughest one that you've witnessed? Bobby?
I have. I don't really. I would say I have, in a sense, but it was long before I was in Anaheim. It was young. Don't want to really get into it, but I would say that the only thing that I think the NFL really, really messed up on was leaving those people on. And I tweeted this. They just left them on air for too long. They just hung those people out to dry. The only thing that you are supposed to do in that situation, as human beings, is to cancel the game and move on, like immediately. Like I think that's fair to say. But I've been part of that, and we went back and played the game when I was young and got through that. And I think that you're putting players. And if you're going to do it at that level, it's different. But if you're putting players at exposure for really, really bad injuries, because Yorkie, you can attest to this, your space would not be the same. Like, you're not even close. Mm-hmm. You're just, mm-hmm. you're going through things and you're playing the same game at a half speed. And I'm glad they ultimately canceled, but I don't think that it should have been a conversation for as long as it was.
Yeah, and Wally, you know, from the broadcasting standpoint, and from my, it's tough enough trying to think of things to say when you're during a broadcast and you keep getting icings and you got to keep saying, but to do what they had to do, incredible. I thought the whole crew did an outstanding job under those circumstances. So for me, I actually, the one time, and Wally, you'll remember this, when Marion Hossa, the incident with Brian McCabe, and like that was pretty bad. Like Hossa, we knew wasn't going to die, but anytime a guy you think is going to lose an eye or it's that serious, that really took the wind out of the sails of that game. But another time when I was coaching, I was actually coaching minor hockey, and one of our players went headfirst in the boards, and he got taken off on a stretcher. Ambulance came, and right away we're like, game's over. There was about 10 minutes left in the game. We just canceled the game because nobody felt like playing this. When stuff like that happens, yep. without even thinking about it, it's done, because you just, it's a human tragedy, and it's not fair for anybody to come back and do that. And I'm with you, Bobby. They waited too long, and at the end of the day, they did the right thing. But those guys, no way those guys could have played. Absolutely no way.
No. Yeah. I've seen a couple, and I just, it is Brian McCabe, or sorry, Brian Berard. I know he's, but I know
Brian Berard. Sorry, I butchered his name. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. That was like the first time that I really dealt with any kind of on ice incident. That was that one. Yeah. Like, we ended up staying at Chio Hospital that night because we were told to go there, but I felt shitty for like staking outside a hospital when this kid who you don't know is going to lose an eye or what. Like, it was. That was a real eye opener for it. Oh, I shouldn't. That's a bad pun. But that was one of those really tough times. Yeah. Dean McCammon was probably the worst for me.
Yeah.
Live. Because when he got run over by Steve Downey in 07, that was really ugly for me. Yeah. So, someone just commented, no one asking why such a healthy stud had a heart attack. I do hear. So I spoke to Chris Schwartz today, actually, at the gym, and he said, because if you guys see the hit, he takes the hit. It looks like it's into his chest, and then he pops back up, and then he collapses. And Schwartzy had told me, he goes, if you get bumped into the chest, you can affect your heart rhythm. And that's ends up what happens of how you collapse is affects the way you it gets your heart out of rhythm, and that's why you end up collapsing. So crazy. You can be healthy. Chris Pronger, he talked about it today. He tweeted about a slap shot he took in the chest. He collapsed on the ice, and it was about having the effect on your chest, on your heart rhythm. Anyway, hope he has a full recovery. I know that's tough, and obviously it's ugly, and his mom is there. And it's such a, like, that's, yeah, it's tough. So We do wish him all the best in his recovery, and what that's going to be, I'm not sure. We move on, and I unfortunately I don't have a segue to this one, but I want to get to tonight. The Sens are playing Columbus. Eric Brännström is back in the lineup. Anton Forsberg is going to start. It is so. You know what? I'm just going to get right to it with the Betano lock of the day. By the way,
yeah,
this is a game of lesser lights, if you will. But Ottawa, the favorite, obviously. Columbus, the over/under 6.5. Ottawa 3-1-1 in its last five against Columbus. Columbus has lost seven straight on the road. Yorkie, you are our resident expert. You tell me.
Well, hey, first of all, if you want to make money, listen to this show. Not only did we give the winner yesterday, we gave the winner, and we parlayed it with the over-under, taking Boston with under for 6.5. So I'm going to go Ottawa on this one. I like how they're playing right now. Power play is going well. They're getting some goaltending. Looks like Forsberg's going to start, right, Wally? Forsberg's starting again?
Yep.
Is that what we – yeah, yep. So I think he's going to have another good game. So if I'm going to – I'm going to lock it in with the Sens. I like the Sens to win again, guys. And I won't parlay it on the over-under, but I'll just go with the win. And I'll say take Ottawa on this if you want to make some money.
Yeah, no disagreement there. This is just this. I mean, Columbus is an absolute dumpster fire. I do realize that I'm here for good quotes and good quips, but there's nothing good about this team, other than the fact that Johnny Gaudreau could go up and have 4 points any night. This is just not a good hockey team. They should win very easily. Yeah, so I'm taking the lock of the day. I'm with you. I'm all in.
Lock it in.
Okay. I forgot to give you one other, Jim. 6.5.
Did you say 6.5? No, I'm taking the under.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
So the last three games between these two, they have scored 5 goals or less combined. So I would expect it to be under 6.5. By the way, I left out this gem. Columbus is 2-11-1 on the road this year. So
that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So take Ottawa, take the under for that simple
lock. They're not really excited about going into Canada and winning.
No, probably not. No, Columbus. Yeah. But anyway, Yorkie, you brought up Forsberg getting the start and Brännström returning to the lineup. The interesting thing I have, so Jacob Bernard-Docker sent down yesterday for Brännström. DJ Smith said today, oh, listen, the best players are going to play and it doesn't matter who they are. This quote to me is lip service. Are you going to tell me the other games beforehand you didn't really want to win, so you didn't play your best players in those games? Like, it doesn't, like, common sense is going to dictate that their top line is going to play more than your fourth line. This is just nonsensical to me.
Well, I think he's just given some kudos to his fourth and third line. They played really well last game. Lucchini had a great game. I think Gambrell was good. So it's just the coach just taking note, and that's a good thing. But no, you're right. Your top players are going to play. Your Giroux, your DeBrinkets, Brady Tkachuk, those guys are going to handle the majority of your minutes. And the nice thing is, though, and DJ is not afraid to throw that third and fourth line on whenever he wants. And hey, they've been showing they can do it too, fellas. Like they've had a nice little run here. And Bobby, we talked about it yesterday. A couple of guys on the fourth line there, they've been really noticeable. I thought we didn't mention Gambrell. I thought he had a pretty nice game too. Another guy just going out there doing his thing. So that's a good thing right now. I like the way this Senators team is trending. You can say that Brady's not getting as many points right now, but hey, that's the way it's going to be. Your season's going to have up and downs. And right now it looks like the fourth line's doing some good stuff, right?
But honestly, who cares, you know, if Brady's not getting the same amount of points, because, but you can throw those guys on. And I think you can do that right now. Like, I think that We talked about this, you know, off air, but I think that DJ handled that press conference, I guess you would call it, incredibly well, because he basically said our best players are going to play, and those are going to be your first two lines most of the time. But when those guys get elevated because they're playing well, they get a couple extra minutes. They go from 6 to 9 to 12, whatever it might be. Like, if you can infuse your team with those guys at 2 to 3 more minutes, that's a big deal for your team going forward, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might be wrong there, York. You can weigh in on this. But I think that when you get a fourth line that can play 12 instead of 11 or 10, it changes things.
Yeah, especially right now, guys, because you're getting into January and February, and this is when the season gets a little long, right? It's this is when you need that, because 82 games, it is inhumanly possible for your best players to have their best stuff every night. Like, I know I didn't, and it's just on those nights, that's what good coaching does. They recognize that maybe some guys are not feeling it, and then you elevate those guys on your bottom lines, which you're doing right now. So I think, Wally, that's a big reason why DJ probably made that note, just showing some outward confidence in those guys. So it gives them a little pat in the back, and it's a good thing.
It's nonsense. No, listen, if Brady Tkachuk went 10 straight games without scoring a goal, he's still going to play more than Parker Kelly or Austin Watson, because if you need a goal, you're putting him on the ice, not them.
Did you see Parker Kelly's ice time last game? I think he was close to 15 minutes. He was about 15 minutes. He was like 15 minutes in that game. It was.
Right. I got to look like that up. There's no way. There's no way.
I think he is. I glimpsed over it the other time. Go back and take a look at that. Take a look. I'm having a flashback here. I went over it quickly the other day, but I'm thinking he was close to 15. Take a look there, Bobby. But Wally, like, yeah, okay. You're intrigued now, aren't you? You're intrigued now, aren't you? But Look at Wally. He's looking right
what
now.
What number
too.
Is Parker should know this?
45. It usually has his name next to it.
Yeah, he played 15:30. Okay.
Hey, he played 15:30. See?
Yeah. Which is horseshit.
This isn't just a pretty face here with great hair. I'm doing the research.
At some point, I'm going to have to part my hair a certain way just to be part of this podcast.
Okay, take that hat off right now. Take that hat off right now. And I want the viewers to see, because it's gonna be Beetlejuice when you take that hat off. Just a quick little, let's see it quick.
You're gonna do this show. Right now?
I want to see it. Like,
I got nothing. Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
We're moving on, because we got to get to Capology.
Let's
15 minutes. Parker Kelly paid 15 minutes last game. So there you go, Wally. 15 minutes.
Okay, hold on. All right. So that may be. But when you've got guys who aren't playing well on your fourth line, you don't necessarily sit your first line. You sit third line players. And so, like, Derek Brassard played 7:21. Well, they need another right winger to play. So, yeah, Parker Kelly got to play some more minutes. He also played.
And there's a lot of PK. It was a lot of PK.
He played 2 minutes
game.
On the power play or penalty kill. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a PK guy. So
he played the most as a forward on the PK.
But that's a sign of, I'm telling you, that's a sign. If coaches that continually just run their big guns all the time, that's how you lose your guys as the season goes on. Because if you don't throw some cookies to your other guys once in a while, how do you expect them to always come out and just play hard for you every night? I know it's your job and everything, but human nature, you have to, guys that get it, throw some crumbs to the bottom part of the roster, and they'll do cartwheels for you. They'll do handstands for you. They're like, look at Lucchini. The guy got in the power play. 27-year-old guy that spent his entire career in the minors gets on the power play, gets his first NHL goal. That's a good thing. because it's really good for the culture inside your dressing room. It's and that's, people can criticize DJ for maybe a lack of structure or that, but one thing I think he's good at is recognizing how to reward certain players and how to throw a few crumbs here, feed the pigeons a little bit. It's an art form, but I think that's one of his, I know that's,
did you
that's,
say that?
That's okay, fair. Yeah, feed the pigeons.
I love it.
Yeah. Feed them. You got to sprinkle out there, but no, it's a good thing. And it's even better when those players come through for you.
Is that on the peeper that you called it yesterday?
The peeper, the power play. You never heard that.
You
got
to feed a couple pigeons on the peeper. Okay, no. Perfect. You
throw a few, just sprinkle it out there.
No.
Pluck them up.
Yeah.
And
no.
Then, you look like a genius. You look like a genius when one of them scores, yeah. And then you look like a genius, or maybe not a genius, but you look good when they score for you.
Yeah. For sure, but like, okay. All right, we're going to move
on. Why do you find this so hard? It's not that difficult.
I don't. I've seen it. But just to say that, you know, your top guys are not going to get the minutes is just – come on now. So Tim Stützle is going to play less than Jake Lucchini or Shane Pinto?
No.
That's not going to happen.
I mean, you're overdoing this, bud. There is not what he was doing.
This isn't your steak. You're not trying to overcook it. Don't overthink it. Don't overcook it. It's a little. It's one game.
I just don't know why coaches say this nonsense stuff. Listen, don't tell me the best player. Of course, you're going to play to win. That's all I'm saying. Why do you bother saying this stuff?
And another thing too, like if you're a coach, you got to go out every day and talk to the media. Like you run out of things to say, and you're like, "What am I?
You're tired. You're tired." We don't.
Yes, like, I agree because you get the same questions every day.
My God, remember Dave Cameron?
Oh yeah. But you,
Dave Cameron,
and we would literally have bets on how many times we could say "you know" in the media. we're not thinking about the media as much as you guys are. We were just having fun.
Well, obviously this, and
yes,
you know, and
I concur.
Like, and if we just play our game, you know, and then you just do your thing, and you know, and then Wally goes, "Oh, great! I got a great whip."
Well, obviously, we got to play 60 minutes tonight, Wally, and obviously, it's a good question, and you know, well, it's got to play 60, and you know, it's I'm surrounded by good guys, and I think guys do it on purpose so they won't get interviewed. So they're like, "I'm going to be so bad that he won't ask me again to do an interview." Anyways, let's move on.
Sean McEachran was that way.
Sean
McEachran hated being interviewed, so he just gave out terrible clips. So I would just go to other people. And then Mark Borowiecki would always say, "Great question, Wally." So I always went to him because it was always nice to hear. This question was terrible, but he always used to butter me up.
I'm sure the people online are finding this conversation fascinating, too.
We could spend all day
trying to get out of doing interviews.
A lot of barn burners happening right now.
All right. This show, by the way, I'm just going to interrupt and throw in a sponsor read. This show brought to you, as always, by Renfrew Pro Tape. They are the leaders. They actually invented hockey tape. RenfrewPro.com, by the way, located in the Ottawa Valley. Been around for 40 years. If you need proper tape on your stick, you go to the ones with the green cord. They are the industry standard when it comes to pro hockey tape. You can get them anywhere, all major retailers if you want, which includes Canadian Tire, Pro Hockey Life, Sport Check, all of them. Go to RenfrewPro.com, check them out. Also, follow them on Instagram. There's always tons of giveaways they have set up there.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Okay, on to the next Paterno lock of the day. That is Team Canada versus Team USA.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
In the semifinal, which is, it should easily be a simple pick for Bobby, but I'm guessing he's probably going to pick the wrong team. So let's say, Bobby, what are you going to take in the USA-Canada game? I mean, you're used to coming in second.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Just, wow. All right. Did not know I was going to get kicked in the dick today, but okay. I'm taking the US team. And it's not because I don't love the Canadian team. I think that Connor Bedard changes the game every time he's on the ice. I think that we can all agree with that. But I'm going to take the U.S. team because I think their goalies are a little deeper. But I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate or not, too, because the goalie was pretty good, you know, through overtime and some saves. But no, I'm taking the U.S. team. I'm going with the U.S. and I'm happy to bet on anything with this one, Harry, Yorkie, and Wally. Whatever you guys want to bet, I will bet. I got 100 riding with a buddy of mine. I'll start wearing jerseys.
Yeah. Well, I'll throw out a disclaimer here first, guys. I'm actually not a big World Junior guy. I watch it, but for about 10 years, I didn't watch. I got cut, Bobby. I got cut, so I was bitter for like 10 years, and I boycotted watching.
It's a hard team to make, dude. It's a hard team to make. Fair.
Oh, listen, it wasn't that tough. It was just, it wasn't a first rounder, so I didn't get on the team. That's how that it was.
No, that's fair.
I was so. Anyways, I was so sour. Watched it now. Watching it this year. Man, that Bedard kid is so good. I got a hard time betting against him. He's feeling it right now. He just broke the record for scoring in the tournament. Best player in the world right now.
In five games. Guys,
yeah, talk about
points,
yeah. You think? Yeah, talk about being on a heater.
He has.
There's a heater for you.
So the next two players combined have the same number of points as Connor Bedard.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, and I sorry to interrupt, Wally, but I Yorkie, but I don't think that we're ever going to see a player like this before again. I don't know. Like Crosby didn't do this, right? Ovechkin didn't do this. This is different. He can play in this tournament for two more years, guys.
Crazy.
He's done.
He's gonna, you know, he'll be in the NHL next year and I'll be playing for whoever it's gonna be. But like have you ever watching that game yesterday, you're just like, I think that we're watching one of the best players that we've ever seen wear that jersey at that level.
And
he's 17.
So I'll finish my prediction on who I think. The reason I like Canada, and I think it's a pick 'em right now. US got a great team. Canada's got a great team. I like the fact that Canada's had to face. I like the fact they've had to face some adversity twice now. They lost that game to Czech, and they just had to win a very tight game in overtime, and their best player came through from them. So it's going to be a close game. There's going to be adversity. I like the fact Canada's had to go through it. So if I was forced to pick somebody, I'm going to take Canada just because I think they've faced that adversity and they passed the test. So It's a pick 'em, okay. But I'll take Canada.
I can't get mad at that. That's fair.
Yeah, it's reasoning.
The over-under is 6.5. Is there any reason to think this is going to be over 6.5 goals, Bobby?
No. No, it's going to be a tight game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Both
the under and take Canada.
The neutral, yeah, that's what I would say. But the neutral zone is going to be a nightmare early on for both teams.
You just picked them. Yeah, you just said take the over at Canada, and then you said, yeah, that's right.
Sorry, the under in Canada, but the neutral zone is going to be hard for the first half of the game, for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay. No, it's gonna,
I'm excited to see this one play out.
Me too. It's going to be a great game.
Brian Boucher, you know, Ostapchuk going head-to-head for all of Sens fans to watch this one. All right, so with that in mind, we're going to move on to Capology. So first of all, BEI, I'm going to get into two sponsor reads because I don't know how this is going to play out. So first of all, BEI is always one of our presenting sponsors. Go to BEI.com or BonnieShoreExcavating.com. BEI, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. They are the leaders in construction and civil engineering in the Renfrew Valley. And finally, Montanas. Welcome to the show, Montanas. It created a little bit of a debate yesterday about how people should prepare their food. But they are a great restaurant. You should always go to Montanas and ask for the well-done steak. The wings were great. They have got all kinds of stuff going on. What?
We have to talk about the well-done steak thing. I'm done with this, man. Like, we're going to have to, like, really get into this one more time. But, yeah.
Okay, we'll have a cooking show later. You know what? If Canada wins, I'm going to cook you a steak.
A well-done steak.
I don't want that. No. Like, that's just, No.
All right. Yeah. I'll cook you dinner. If I win, I get to cook you dinner.
Just nice to know I can get a meal from you, Wally.
So, Wally,
might not say that after.
So, if you're wrong, though, you got to eat Bobby's bloody red steak that's barely still alive. So that's the deal. Nobody he's going to. Well done. Well, that's
Yorkie. If I'm cooking a steak, I'm ripping the horns off. We're walking around the fire once, and then that's it. We're eating it.
So there you go. And Wally.
Yeah.
Bon appetit.
Okay. All right. I'll try it. But anyway, go to montanas.ca. Look up your location that's near you. If you're going to the game tonight, you should stop in. They're in Kanata Centrum. Anyway, Montana's on Mondays, half-price wings. By the way, Wednesday, all you can eat ribs, which is coming up tomorrow. So get ready for that. See? All right. So Yorkie said, listen, I'm going to solve the cap issues for Ottawa when they become a contender with Brady Tkachuk at the peak of his career. Or at least in the next, we'll say in 3 years from now, 25-26 season. So, Yorkie, you can take us through this. I disagree with some of your selections, but you can, if you want, discuss what you've done here.
Well, first of all, let me put my capologist glasses on here, Wally. And this is the thing. I think if Ottawa, you like the glasses, right? I think if Ottawa, if you realistically look at this team and where their core is at, and by the core, I mean Tkachuk, Stützle, Norris, Batherson, Giroux, I think next year they should be a playoff team. I think they could be a playoff team. And then the year after, I think they've got an opportunity to maybe make a little bit of noise in the playoffs. So the big hot button topic is how do you re-sign DeBrincat and fit him into the mold? By showing this salary structure, Wally, I'm not saying it's solved it. I'm just saying this is where they're going to be at. And they're actually going to be over the cap with this projected top six. So my thing is, I think there are over 90 million with this roster we've presented. So, and this is having DeBrincat at $8 million, which is going to be a discount, which I still think is going to be difficult to get because he's playing that well. But I just wanted to illustrate what Ottawa's team could possibly look like in a couple years' time. In a couple years, Claude Giroux will be in the last year of his contract, making 6.5. I know Claude keeps himself in great shape. Smart guy, cerebral player. I don't think you're going to see much decline in Claude's game in a couple years. Stützle, I think by that, two years from now, Bobby's going to be a premier player. Brady's going to be better. You got Norris, you got Batherson. But the big thing for me is by then, Pinto's going to need a new contract. If you guesstimate what you think he's going to be at, he's going to probably be at around four or five. That's a pretty good discount as well. Right, Bobby?
I'm not disagreeing on you. I love your lineup, Yorkie. Sorry, I don't mean to jump in on, but I love your lineup. But I'm just trying to figure out how that Pinto gets to 4 or 5 because I don't know if he can.
And that's a guess.
He's never going to get elevated enough to be what you would call a scoring forward, but he's never going to be unelevated enough to not be your checking center. Like, he's just kind of in the spot, right? I really like the player, but I don't see that him. I actually see a problem with him when it comes to the next contract. I really do. Between what they think he's going to be and what he thinks he could be. He can shoot a puck. So
is he going to be that? Is he going to be that really good two-way centerman that teams really covet? Like a smart guy that you put in good defensive like situations. Here's the other thing. You got Stützle and Norris, both left-shot centers. Wouldn't it be nice to have a really reliable two-way right shot center iceman on your roster that you're going to have for a long time? I love the IQ. I love the hockey. I love the hockey sense, and I love that it comes with some scoring touch as well. Just find right shot center, and it's still so early, and that's the tough spot with trying to project where guys are going to be at. All you can really do is look at what they've done, and we had this discussion yesterday. I really want to see how Pinto plays down the stretch here when the games come a little tougher. There's a little more meaning in these games. He had that hot start. Let's see how he finishes off this season. For me, I think the most intriguing moves they're going to have to make are on the blue line. Because if you project 2 years from now, Jake Sanderson's going to need a new contract. If you want to be a really good team 2 years from now.
Okay, wait, we're not Shabbat. Done. Don't go to the D yet. Hang on.
Okay. Well, that's we're not, that. That but Wally, that's
there's no.
But that's
dude. We're not allowed to go to the D yet.
But that's where it ties in on what you can do with your forwards and what you can't do, because if you want to go and give DeBrincat probably the money he's going to deserve, you have to be mindful of how much am I going to have to pay Jake Sanderson. We're going to have to bring in a veteran defenseman. What's going to be the cost of a veteran defenseman 2 years from now?
Okay, just
is it $5 million?
Go back to the forwards for a second.
Well, yeah.
Okay. The reason I say that is in 2 years, I just want to get to the bottom of this, because in 2 years, A, you think DeBrincat's going to take $8 million. I'm not sure that that's the case. You did. You said he's $8 million.
This is a projection on where the Sens could potentially be if you're looking at where this team's going to be 2 years from now, if you want to sign DeBrincat. And it shows you that if you want to be an elite team, it's going to be really difficult, because you're going to have to make some tough decisions, because with this potential roster, it doesn't fit. Like, someone from this group is going to have to go. That's the point to be made here.
What? All right, hang on a second. What if Shane Pinto takes 3.5? That gives you another $1 million to give to Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah, and who knows where Pinto is going to be at? And that's the thing with a young player. A lot's going to be said with how he finishes his year off. Does he continue to score? Does he struggle? What's Jake Sanderson going to be worth? That's the big thing for me is, where is Sanderson when his contract's up after next season? What number is he going to be at? Because he's your number two defenseman of the future.
Yeah, no, I'm with you guys that I don't know if we can switch the board to the defensive side yet. Wally, I don't know if that works for you.
I'm not done with the forwards.
Okay. All right. I'm just telling you.
I will tell you when.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Do you want me to weigh back in on whoever the fuck Kastelic is? Okay.
We like Mark Kastelic. By the way, you don't have Parker Kelly in this lineup. You have Boucher and Greg as your wingers. Yeah. There are a few others, right? So is this just that's a regular rookie deal, entry-level contract kind of guy?
Interchangeable. Sorry, is Boucher, we don't know if Boucher is going to be ready by then. We think Greg's going to be ready. It's all projecting. Kastelic looks like he's going to be a really good fourth line center. Parker Kelly could be that 13th forward. It could be somebody else. It could be Cruikshank. Nothing's set in stone here. This just shows you of what the cap could potentially be at if you give DeBrincat $8 million and you factor in where the D is going to be. What happens when you add in a real top four defenseman? Like right now, with all due respect to Travis Hamonic, he's not a top four defenseman. So when this team is ready to become a really good team and you have to pay to have a top four defenseman, it comes with a price tag and it's not $3 million. I'll give you an example. A really good top four defenseman right now, probably on, I would say, one of the best contracts if you want a top four defenseman. You look over in Calgary right now, Rasmus Anderson. I think he makes 4.5, 4.6. That is a top four defenseman on a bargain basement contract. That's a right shot D. You get a guy like that in your lineup, you are massively upgrading your back end, and you are a way better team in the playoffs, and it's going to help this team incredibly. Yeah. And that's the type of player that Ottawa's going to need 2 years from now when they're ready to take that jump to complement Sanderson, Zub, and Shabbat. And those will be decisions made in a year and a half from now.
I was going to say, to your point there, I don't think they need that right now, but I think they will need.
No,
that.
They don't.
Yeah. Let your guys be your guys right now. Let JBD come up. I actually like Clevin. I don't know if he's, but I think Clevin's going to be kind of your Mark Methot guy. He's going to be the guy that's probably there to settle things down. So I think that, you know, we're looking at this board, but I think that Clevin will literally go up to 1, 2, 3, or 4, or not 1 or 2, but, you know, he's going to go up the ranks here because he gets to solidify whatever Shabby and Sandy are doing. Like, that's his role, and he just gets to do that. I think that I've been watching some of his games. Like, I think that's what he's going to be, but I don't know. I hate looking at this and we're talking about cap and stuff like that. I think that JBD is a really, really, I think he's going to be a really good defenseman. I just don't think he's there yet. Don't think there's any reason to rush that. But when you have two defensemen that are Shabby and Sandy, you just let them be what they are, and then you insulate everything else around that. And I hope that they do that correctly. I really do. And you already kind of have a tube, right? But you have to do that correctly the rest of the way.
The other thing is, too, this is a big discussion point here. I like Cam Talbot right now. 2 years from now, he's going to be, I think he's going to be 37 years old. Is he going to be your number one goalie? Probably not. So what's the price tag for a number one goalie? Forsberg, is he going to be a number one? Probably not. You never know. Time will tell. He's still he still has some things to prove in the league. So there's, for me, when people talk about signing DeBrincat, it's not as easy as people think because you have to factor in what's going to happen, and time will tell, because who knows, to your point, Bobby, how quickly is Bernard Docker going to develop? Maybe it happens sooner than later. And that's the nice thing for the Senators. There's going to be time for these things to play out because you don't have to go out right now and grab that veteran D and pay for him. You can let things play out. You can let things play out for a while. You can see what happens the rest of the year here with certain guys. So time's on their side. And the nice thing is the team's playing well right now. They're winning. They're competitive. And then all these things will play out.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, they're playing. I mean, their last 15 or whatever it is, just let them play that way. Just let them play that way. And then you start, to figure out things and who's your group and who's your core from there. Is that, if that makes sense.
Exactly. No, exactly right.
Yeah. I think goaltending's an issue here.
It is, but yeah. We'll talk about that for an hour, Wally. But yeah, no, you got a guy that's getting you there right now. Just let that be the guy. But I do think that you have to overpay a goalie to come play there right now, right? Because the team's not solidified. excuse me.
So
York, you can touch on this right now. But if you go into a free agency right now tomorrow. And I'm just going to use the name. If Carey Price is the number one person out there in the world, I'm just using the name. And you say, hey, Price, we're going to give you $10 million to come in. He's got questions. At $10 million, he's still got questions because nobody knows what this team genuinely is yet. Like, this has to develop and they have to get better in a certain area to have an attractive goalie come there. I don't think that's wrong to say, Yorkie.
No, for sure. It's the Senators are in a position right now of they're building their identity. They're trying to get back to the stable franchise they used to be, and it turned into what it was at the beginning of the season when this team was where they were 3-8 when it looked like it was going to be a dumpster fire, and now things are settling in, and it's going to be really important the second half of the season. And I'm really intrigued. We mentioned this yesterday to see how young players play when some of these games get more meaningful, because now they put themselves in a position where you're playing and you still can say, hey, we have a chance to make the playoffs here. So there's that different kind of pressure when you know if you win, you've actually got a chance to make the playoffs, albeit a slim chance. Yeah. There's still something to play for. So it's going to be a very intriguing second half.
I agree 100%.
The only issue with that is just that Talbot is up at the end of the year at UFA. So, and Forsberg is the following year. So all you have to find a goalie to fill in order to get to your 2 years from now. So I think you're going to have to pay him $6.5 million.
Yeah. You're always going to find a goalie.
Well, though, it depends on what kind of goalie.
Yeah. Like, and
you want two average goalies or do you want a cup contending goalie?
It depends. I have a cup contending goalie. That's just me. I think you're just trying to fill space right now as a goalie. I hate to say that, but I think that's just the way it is right now.
And let's be honest, I really think the goaltending position, even though it's the most important position in come playoff time, like your goalie is your most important player, there's not really those guys out there that you used to go after in free agency or at the trade deadline. You say, okay, we're bringing this guy in because he is a legit number one and he's going to come in and change the face of our franchise. There's not many of those guys out there anymore. It's a lot of teams are going with 1A, 1B, or they're going with two guys. They're playing their backup more. Look at Colorado, for example. They just won the cup with Kemper and he's off to a new team. So, besides Vasilevskiy, a couple other guys, I don't find there are those guys that he's such so much better than the rest of the guys that you have to have them. So it's a little bit different. And the other last point I'll make here, guys, we all know this team's going to be sold. There's new ownership coming here, probably going to come in and start things over here in the summer. I would have to think if new ownership's going to come in here, they're going to want to win and be successful right away, because whoever buys this team is going to have extremely deep pockets. And I think they're going to spend close to the cap, because they're going to want to win right away.
Yeah.
They're going to come in, make a splash, sell tickets, take this team to the next level. So I think it's going to be a little bit easier to attract some free agents, although Ottawa sometimes is, I know people don't want to hear this, it's a tougher sell in other markets, but I think new ownership with deep pockets is coming, and they're going to come with a plan.
New arena.
I can see the plan, new arena, all that stuff. And then this is going to be a team, in my opinion, that's ready to win in 2 years if they make the right moves.
Maybe you can work it into your contract. You get a cameo in any Ryan Reynolds movie.
Why not, eh? Why not?
If Ryan Reynolds is buying the team, I'm 100% be in the movie. It's just part of the process.
you'll be coming back, right, out of retirement?
Yeah.
Listen, Ryan, I will give back my money if you let me into a movie. Because you still get another 1.8 next year.
You know what? That's fair, buddy. Jesus, I'm the third highest player on the payroll right now, and I don't even play, so that's great.
There was one point, Dion Phaneuf, when he got traded to L.A., and they came into it, he was the highest paid defenseman on the Ottawa Senators roster until Shabby got signed.
Yeah.
And he was because of the bio. Anyway, Yorkie, I have good news. Last thing on your Capology recipe for success that you've done a phenomenal job with. The cap hit expected to be possibly, by the way, this is, I didn't know you were a teacher of math.
Where's my glasses?
In three years, the cap is expected to hit $92 million. So you are under it if you can get to this cap in 3 years. So you may have solved the issues.
Okay, we'll see. Time will tell.
Great. Now if you could just do my taxes.
Yeah, you're asking a lot there, buddy. You're asking a lot. No.
I can't even weigh in, guys. I mean, I'm just trying to tie shoes over here. So I have no idea.
Before we go, Bobby, if there was because Yorkie would be Mr. Bean. If there was ever a guy that you were to play in a movie or a lookalike, who would that be?
My lookalike? Like,
okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like if, like, would you have Tom Cruise play Bobby Ryan?
I mean, Tom Cruise couldn't tie my shoes. can I get back to you on this tomorrow? Like, this is insane. I think that it would be, and if you're gonna have to Google this, Emil Hirsch. Nobody knows who that is.
Emil Hirsch.
Yeah. Look him up.
No, good job picking the obscure guy.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. Just pushing that off tomorrow. Yeah.
All right. I'd say Ryan Reynolds. He and I look a lot alike.
100%, yeah.
Ryan
Same
Reynolds.
Same barber.
A lot of dead silence there.
Yeah, nothing. Okay. I got nothing for you there.
All right, so listen. Nice job. We'll put together something else later about tradable players and the trade deadline and what's going to happen there. But for now, we are back Thursday. We're hoping to have a special guest, maybe? So we will update that when because as you know, with players, you never know if they're going to show up or not. So
we got to guess.
We will see. I don't like to throw it out there just in case. Yeah,
we got to guess.
All right. I guess go finish your snack, Bobby. We will talk to you guys on Thursday. See you, everybody. Thanks for following along.
You guys have a great night.
See you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.